Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf on your flagship station for New York sports. The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN New York.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Rick Wolf's Sports Edge. I'm your host, Rick Wolf. You know, I was just listening to Dave Uram's recap of all the sporting events that took place yesterday and last night. And, you know, these are the highlights of all the top professional and collegiate athletes, these athletes at the top of their game. But, you know, it made me think about the fact that if we look at how all these top athletes got to where they are today, if you go all the way back to at some point in their lives, they were just starting out when they were, you know, 2 or 3 or 5 or 6 years old. You know, that's what I want to talk about this morning. And because in talking with you, the listeners, and receiving your calls and emails over the last several months, it's become increasingly clear to me, and obviously it's clear to you as well, that sports parenting has changed dramatically and it's changed rapidly. That is, you know, how many times have I noted on the show that, well, I'll say like, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, things were a lot different with kids playing sports. In other words, if you were a first-time sports parent back in, let's say, the 1990s or 2000s, you knew the drill that for most kids, when they turned 5 or 6, they were usually introduced to organized sports in their town through a local rec soccer or basketball program or some other team sport. And those rec teams, you know, they're decidedly low-key. And, of course, the coaches were usually just, you know, volunteers, moms and dads, maybe some high school kids who were volunteering to help out. But in 2018, things are, well, let's just say they're different. More and more enthusiastic sports parents are doing what they can these days to give their youngster a leg up on their same age peers. And they're starting their kids at earlier ages than ever, and they can't wait to get their youngster on the fast track. For example, that might mean a parent will gently push or prod their child into a particular sport, or even sign up for a so-called specialized travel team for little ones. Or a parent might even start their own travel team for their own kid. In other words, once we start doing this, today's sports parents are seemingly off to the races. Now, on last Sunday's show, we talked about the growing concern about pay-to-play and how this current generation of new sports parents seem to be more aware and more eager and more competitive about their kids than previous generations of parents. So on today's show, what I want to ask you is this. If you're a sports parent with younger kids playing competitive sports these days, what is your take on all this? Do you feel being a sports parent in the year 2018 is even more challenging than it was 10 or 15 years ago? I mean, as your kid starts getting involved in competitive sports, how do you figure out which is the best travel or club team that you want your youngster to be playing for? How do you make sure your youngster is on the right track? And how do you make sure they're even having fun? Because obviously, the stakes have increased dramatically. There seems to be this ongoing sort of rat race to get ahead, to push, to be the top kid, to be recognized at an increasingly younger ages that your youngster is off and going to be one of the top athletes. I mean, I just want to take a moment to reflect this morning on what it's like to be a sports parent in this day and age. I can't even imagine. It's not easier than it was 20 years ago, I can assure you that. But it must be unbelievably confusing and baffling and expensive if you have a little one starting out in sports in these days. 1-877-337-6666, that, of course, our number here at The Fan. Yeah, this is something that I just want to sort of reflect upon for a few minutes and get your take, because it's got to be so challenging to be a sports parent during these times. Okay, let's start our conversation this morning with Gary out of Colts Neck, New Jersey. Gary, good morning.
Hey,
you're on the Fan.
Good morning, Rick. It's nice to hear your voice again. I haven't been on the radio in a while, but I wanted to just comment. You know, I was a big athlete growing up with my brothers up in North Jersey, and now I'm down in Monmouth County. And let me tell you, I got three boys of my own that are getting older.
Yep.
I just can't believe how things have changed so drastically. You know, when we were kids, we never talked about money. We just wanted to play.
Mm-hmm.
Be better than the other kid. We were happy when a kid hit a home run on your team. I'd be the first one out there rooting for him. Well, I was more excited about my friend hitting a home run than I did. The point is today, these kids, they're getting pulled from all directions, you know. And baseball, I could just talk more about baseball in general right now. But when we tried out for baseball, we always tried out in the spring. Now they're trying out in the fall.
Of course.
Sounds against, because who's to say a sixth grader can't get better in 4 or 5 months over the winter training? And they pick these teams. Forget about the travel and this and that. It's just crazy. I think parents need to chill out and just let the kids be kids. Because you know what? Ask a kid. The worst ride is the car ride home, usually from the parents, especially the fathers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Why'd you strike out? These kids don't want to hear that.
No, they don't.
Let them be kids. They'll go much, much further. And it's way beyond sports.
Well, Gary, and I think you just said it gave
fail
us a very good...
Not in school.
Yeah.
Fail in sports. We're okay with that. So that's really my biggest comment. And,
well,
you know, let the kids just be kids. That's
I hear you. And as I say, I think you did a nice summary there. Thank you for the call. A nice summary of what we're concerned about. I mean, there's so much of this seems to be this ongoing floating anxiety or angst that we got to make sure our kids are on the fast track, that the equation that should include a sense of are the kids having fun, are they enjoying what they're doing, that seems to get pushed off to the side because we haven't got time for that. It's more about let's get on to the next practice, let's try out for the next travel team, let's make sure that we really are, you know, getting a leg up on the competition. Even at ages of, as I said, you know, 8 or 10 or 12 years old, and it just sort of runs counter to the whole idea of trying to have fun and enjoying oneself playing sports. And what I'm particularly concerned about is, as Gary alluded to, you know, if a kid is sort of shunned off to the side when they're 10 years old because they're sort of a slow developer or they're a late bloomer, and you know, once you don't make a travel team when you're 10 or 11, you're pretty much gone from that program. You're just not going to – nobody's going to give you the chance again to prove yourself, and that's very, very disturbing. Let's go over to Lyndhurst, where Bill is standing by. Bill, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, Bill. What's up?
I have, a good perspective on some of this in that I coached youth football in North Jersey for 27 years, kids in grammar school.
Okay.
I played high school and college football. I put two daughters through high school and college. They played high school sports. And I attribute the problems now to what I call D1 disease. The parents seem to have the feeling that they want all their kids to be a Division I athlete.
Yep.
And it's just not going to happen. The numbers aren't there. And they make the sports work instead of play and instead of a game. I'll give you a real quick example, then I'll let you go.
Mm-hmm.
What I used to do in football, instead of running sprints with the kids in 7th and 8th grade, sometimes we would do leapfrog. I split the kids up into two lines, and we'd go out and we'd leapfrog 30 yards out, one over another, and the two teams would race. The kids had the greatest time in the world. It involves activity, it involves coordination, it involves work, and it's exercise, and it was fun.
Mm.
But some of the parents criticized me because I wasn't taking the practice seriously enough.
Hey, Bill, that's a very good microcosm, as you said. I mean, here you are trying to get kids to, you know, obviously stay in shape due to some conditioning skills. Leapfrog is a kind of a fun activity. It's different and unusual. And, yeah, I can see exactly what you're talking about. Parents coming to you after the practice and say, Coach, you know, that's not exactly a serious kind of situation. We want more professional approach to our kids playing sports.
that's what happened to me.
And I like the term D1 disease. Hey, Bill, thank you for chiming in this morning. That is a pretty good way of putting it. that is seems to be this obsession or passion, that D1 disease, that if your kid shows a glimmer of talent when they're, 5 or 6 years old, that, my kid's going to be special. My kid's going to go on to get a college scholarship. And that's where it begins. The problem is, now your kid's young, just starting out, just developing a sense of a sport. But, as a mom or dad, how are you going to figure all this out? I mean, that common sense dictates that there's no reason to specialize in one sport when they're young. I mean, let them play a variety of sports. And in fact, just the other day I was reading a study where, the top first-round draft choices in the NFL, most of those guys, the vast majority of the top NFL draft choices all played a variety of sports in high school, not just football. I mean, but we listen, that message doesn't seem to filter down. It's sort of left off to the side. Nobody seems to understand that you don't have to specialize at a very young age. Let's go over to Wayne up in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Wayne, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Hey, Rick, how are you?
Good.
Great show. Unbelievable topic that is probably the biggest thing to discuss in youth sports these days. And here's my take as a parent, as a coach. The thing that's being lost, and I think a lot of these organized things are good. Good coaching, a lot of positives, but kids are losing free play, where, like, we just go down the street and shoot baskets, or just go throw a ball with your buddies, or just, if it's not scheduled these days, the kids aren't doing it. So I think it's a parent's role to encourage that free play. Go play at your murals, go join the rec league, stay involved in those things, because that's where you have so much fun and it's less pressurized. So I just see kids that only do now something if it's a formal practice or a game, and they're losing the free play element.
Wayne, and for the benefit of our listeners, I should point out this is Wayne Mazzoni, who's been on the show so many times as an expert on college recruiting, but now Wayne is calling in as a sports parent himself. And Wayne, I think you bring up a good point about the fact that free play is another one of those concepts that's been sort of pushed off to the side, that's really where kids can go out, enjoy themselves, don't feel any pressure to have to perform or to live up to expectations. They can find what they enjoy doing. They can develop their passion for a variety of sports. That's a really good point, and I'm glad you brought that up.
Thanks, Rick. I appreciate it. Great show. I'll keep listening.
Thanks, Wayne. Again, that's Wayne Mazzoni, our good friend, pitching coach at Sacred Heart University. But again, these are issues I'm talking about. We get so swept up so quickly with our kids in this year, 2018, it's time to sort of take a step back and say, what do we want our kids to really get from in terms of youth sports and getting them on the right track in the appropriate manner? 1-877-337-6666. I know a lot of people want to come in and chime in about this, so we'll do that. But let's take a break. Dave Urim has your update. When I return, I'll go right back to your call. Back here on the Sports Edge, I've asked a very simple question this morning. What is it like to be a new sports parent these days? We all know about the tremendous emphasis upon travel and club teams and the hyper-competition that parents face these days in terms of getting their kid on the fast track. And, it just must be unbelievably baffling and confusing if you're just starting out with a youngster who's 5 or 6 years old, and all of a sudden, if your kid shows some promise in a sport, what sport do you decide upon? Do you specialize? Do you not specialize? Do you handle, do you go through specialization in one sport? Do you travel team, club team? It's just got to be mind-boggling, particularly because there are no guidelines. Let me repeat that so that's really clear. There are no guidelines. There's no federal guidelines about what, in terms of youth sports or what you should look at. There's nothing taught like this in school. There's no handbook that explains to you how it should be done. You're on your own. And if, God forbid, you have no real background in sports, you'll never figure this out, because it's caveat emptor. And it's just unbelievably confusing. And, of course, as you already heard in the first segment of the show, the fact that kids, and the idea of free play, that's not part of the process anymore. It's nice if kids had a chance to go out and do what they want to do, but we haven't got time for that because you'll be late for practice. So you got a travel team tryout. It is just, it has to be just a complete and really sort of extraordinarily difficult experience for young parents today to figure this out in terms of their kids in sports. And that's what we're talking about. 1-877-337-6666. Let's continue with our calls. Let's go over to our friend AJ in Princeton. AJ, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Hey, good morning, Rick.
Hello, AJ.
So, Rick, I don't know what it's like to be a sports parent these days. And frankly, I'm really glad I don't.
Yeah.
You know, the overwhelming theme with every show that I listen to every week from you is, boy, am I glad that I grew up when I grew up. Because I'm now in my almost mid-60s, and sports are such an important part of my life, such a big part of my DNA. And I'm gonna kind of go one step, you know, follow up with what Wayne said. If it wasn't for the idea of free play and being able to just kind of go out at the beginning of the day on my bike, wherever I wanted, go to some friend's house, end up either throwing the ball around or doing something like that, and maybe meeting somebody else and getting a game going and stuff, well before Little League, then this never would have happened. And if I had to go through what the parents have to go through today, my father would never have put up with it. Are you kidding? $100 bat? $200 bat? You got to be kidding me. And you know what that's like.
Yes.
So,
it is. As I said, it's all I know is, AJ, we're going at this 100 miles an hour right down the tracks, and we don't know where it's going to end up. And unfortunately, you know, for most of the kids who are going through this process, as I said a few minutes ago, there are no guidelines. There are no set patterns. All of a sudden, a few super talented kids will go on to play in college or at the pro ranks. But for the vast majority of these kids, they're going to get derailed along the way. And it's got to cause tremendous psychological duress on the parents, on the kids. It's just not right.
And Rick, another thing, my greatest memories were playing D3 football. There's nothing wrong with D3.
No, of course not. Of course not.
And you've said that. And you've said that many times.
AJ, I'm telling you, to sort of emphasize your original point, it's a lot tougher these days to be involved in sports and sports parenting than it was, you know, several generations ago. And that really is the bottom line. AJ, thank you as always for checking in. Appreciate it. You know, and you know, again, that's what we're talking about. It's so complicated these days. It's just bizarre. Let's go up to Steve in Connecticut. Steve, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Yeah, hey, good morning. How are you?
Good, Steve.
Good. So, your topic this morning struck a nerve because I'm on day three of a tournament, an hour and 40 from my house. It's 8:30 on a Sunday. I'm driving in the pouring rain. I had my kid out of school on a Friday. You know, it's just insanity these days. And, you know, there'll be several more tournaments this season.
What sport, Steve? What sport are we talking about?
That's hockey.
Yeah.
So we already dropped down. In some ways, I feel like I'm an early adopter in certain areas. We already dropped down from the, you know, Tier 1 sort of very competitive league where we're driving all over New England every weekend to, you know, the next level down because that was crazy. But we also dropped one of our three sports. I have two boys. They both play the same sports, and we just dropped one altogether because that was about to get even, you know, way more time-consuming than it had been. And, you know, I said, look, if you guys, you know, aren't really loving this and you guys don't want this yourself, certainly no reason why I'm going to push you.
Mm-hmm.
And they were totally fine with it. And, you know, that'll give us a little more time to spend on the two sports they're still doing. And you know what? We'll spend a little more time on other things, like, you know, schoolwork.
Yeah. Steve, I think what you're going through and you're having a rational conversation with your kids about, you know, let's get these things in the priority. And again, and thank you for checking in this morning. The fact is that, yeah, at some point you have to sit down on, an annual basis and talk to your youngsters and say, look, is this really, you want to spend this much time, you know, traveling up and around all over the place in New England to play in ice hockey? And what about your schoolwork? I mean, ultimately, I always say this, somebody has to be play the role of the adult or the grown-up here. You got to make sure the schoolwork comes first because in the long run, you know, that's what is the bottom line, the education. That's going to serve your youngsters a lot better down the road and whether or not they're making a travel team as a mite or making travel team in AAU. It's all about making sure your priorities are in order. Let's continue. Let's go to our friend Jack Smithlin over in Fairlawn. Jack, good morning.
How are you, Rick?
Good, Jack. How you doing?
Great topic. Actually, a very good topic to lead right into Wednesday. That would be great.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I wanted to say was that there were a bunch of people that were right. That Bill about, you know, his leapfrog thing, making it fun.
Yep.
You know, one of the things that I was always a strong believer in is you never, ever punish a kid by making him run or sprint because you're telling him it's not a good thing, you know, and you want it to be fun. But I lived this. I had two sons, as you know, Zach and Alex, and they both were, you know, top athletes in high school. Both went on to play baseball at Penn State. Zach pursued it. Alex didn't want to. He let it go. But, you know, my suggestion to parents, and I lived this, like I said, my suggestion to parents is this. Let your kid play as many sports as they possibly can for as long as they can. It develops different muscles, it teaches different roles, and it enables you to meet other people and socialize. The free play thing is an excellent thing. I'm a special education teacher, and you know, between every unit that I have at school, I have a week of free play. Let them go out and just do what they want on the field. This guy will pick up a wiffle ball bat and play wiffle ball, and you can really learn a lot by watching a kid in free play. My suggestion is exactly what you've always talked about. The old way is the best way, in my opinion, because I've lived both. And I did it, you know, my sons were lucky because they had a psycho father who learned on his own. I educated myself. I didn't understand the new techniques of hitting. The hitting that I was taught as a kid is completely obsolete. It's done. And the way that the new sciences are teaching hitting, so I've learned this. But I always allowed my sons to play three sports. Parents, learn to give your kids a break. Let them take a break. But understand this. It's okay to train in one sport, but you don't have to play the sport all year.
Yeah.
Give it a break. Let your kids go and have fun. You know, and there's so many other things I'd like to talk about, and you know, but I want to give some of these other callers a chance because I learned from the callers.
Yeah, Jack,
I learned from the callers.
Two things. Don't hang up, Jack. First of all, I mean, what you said. I learned myself. This is a two way street because I'm jotting down notes from the callers, and I should probably tell, you know, people who listen to the show, this is where I get my feedback and research from. You know, when Bill from Lindhurst calls in and talks about D1 disease and leapfrog drills, these are good ideas that I hope everybody is listening to and paying attention to. Now, Jack, I do want to remind people, you mentioned, of course, about this upcoming event next Wednesday evening over at Fairlawn at the Community Center.
This coming Wednesday,
December 5th,
yes.
I'm going to be talking about sports psychology. I'll be signing copies of my book, Secrets of Sports Psychology Revealed. The tickets are $20 for adults, $10 for teenagers and senior citizens. And you can either buy tickets at the door. It starts, the event starts 7:00 this coming Wednesday at the Fairlawn Community Center, or you can go to Brown Paper Tickets, and go to event number 366-1337, or you can call Jack Smithlin, who's on the phone right now. Wait till the show's over. You can call Jack for more information at 201-693-2557. Again, 201-693-2557. Jack, this is going to be a great deal of fun, this event. I'm really looking forward to it.
I am so excited, Rick. And I want to say one other thing. You do mention it, but I'm going to tell you something. You should mention it more because I've 12, 15, 18 years ago, I started studying leadership, body and emotional self-control. And the best thing that I've ever read about is sports psychology and sports parenting. And I've read more than close to 100 books, been to seminars, been online. And people, please listen. If you're listening, please listen to what I'm saying. Rick's book is the number one book because it tells you the way it is. It gives you explanations and help about exactly what the topic is right now, parenting. And it's listen, get the book, buy the book, Learn from the book. That's all I have to say.
Jack, you are my biggest cheerleader, and I thank you so much. Oh. But look, well, I'll see you and everybody else this Wednesday over at Fairlawn.
You certainly will. Talk to you later, Rick.
Thanks, Jack. Of course, that is Jack Smithlin, and he's just a terrific, terrific guy. Let me go quickly to Louie out in Long Beach. Hey, Louie, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Rick, how are you?
Good, how you doing?
My point is sports has become a job for the kids and the parents.
Yes.
The parents are too involved. The kids are too involved, and they're spending a ton of money. The parents end up going broke, and then when it comes time to go to college, everybody's got to take out loans, and they're in big debt. So they better think about what they're doing with this and take a step back once in a while and wonder and think to themselves, is this really the best thing for the kids?
You know, Louie, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, obviously all of this is the fact that, A, it is a job. Sports is supposed to be about play. Play is supposed to be fun and enjoyable. But somewhere along the line, early on, the kids these days begin to understand that this is not so much about having fun. It's about, it's a job. It's a chore. It's an obligation. And underneath all that is the fact that mom and dad is spending a lot of money. And it's just heartbreaking these days when kids end up going to college. You know, even if they get a partial athletic scholarship, a lot of kids have to end up taking loans to pay for college, and which may have been money that could have used if mom and dad hadn't put them on travel teams. It really ends up in a lot of bad ways where a little forethought would have gone a much, much different direction for those youngsters involved in sports and taking care of their education. And that, I'm glad you brought that up today, Louie. Thank you.
All right, take care of it.
You know, and I'm telling you, that is a concern. You gotta take a step back if you're a sports parent these days, particularly just starting out, and try to map out for yourself what it is you want for your youngster to take away from being involved in sports at a competitive level. All right, let me take a pause. 1-877-337-6666. And don't forget, at 9 o'clock this morning, it is Football Sunday with Mark Malusis and Dave Deal. Make sure you listen to what they have to say regarding the Jets and the Giants and the rest of the National Football League on this Sunday afternoon. We're talking this morning about how difficult, how challenging it must be to be a sports parent in this day and age. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, there are no roadmaps, there are no guidelines, there's nothing coming from the state or the federal governments about how to be a sports parent and what to look out for or what's the right approach. It doesn't exist, and you're on your own. It's as simple as that. 1-877-337-6666. Let's go to Jordan over in Dix Hills. Jordan, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Good morning, Rick. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I'm 53 years old. I have four boys, and I moved from Brooklyn to Queens to Long Island. So I got a chance to see a couple of different maybe cultures about sports, and I find, at least where I live right now, it really is a culture that your kid has to, you know, go on travel, play travel teams, play, you know, get coaching. And, you know, now, you know, whatever, 15 years later, these kids are not that much better off than they were. They go to school, sometimes they go to play the sport, sometimes they don't like the school, but because the school gave them money, you know, they went there. And I felt a lot of pressure to try to get my kid to play travel or to get, you know, one-on-one coaching. But I just couldn't do it. You know, I could not do it financially.
Right.
And so I didn't, and I'm okay with it, and they're okay.
Well, you know, Jordan, last Sunday's show, and we talked about the pay-per-play, the general consensus is we are really rapidly reaching a point where you just basically related, and that is that at some point it's going to be so oversaturated with travel teams and club teams that the parents are going to say, you know, I can't afford this any money. It's just not going to pay off. I'd rather say to my youngster, look, I want you to play sports, but not at this level where, honestly, it's just prohibitive in terms of the expense and the time. And in your case, you said you had four boys. I mean, if more than one wants to play sports and they're all going to play travel team, man, this is tough. This is going to be very, very difficult, you know?
It's true. And I can't believe what some parents do, you know, for their kids who are on travel, as someone else was saying.
you're spending weekends traveling, you know, not locally. You're spending weekends traveling to Rhode Island and you know, Pennsylvania. And I just, I'm so glad that I did not do that, because I really would have been just pulling my hair out. It's much too much for me.
I hear you. Jordan, thank you for the call this morning. You know, and that's the reality. I mean, if you... Look, if you're extremely well off and you won the lottery and everything else, and you have a lot of time to on your hands, and you do have, you are inclined to want to have your kid travel up and down the East Coast, or in some cases being on elite travel teams where you can actually fly to tournaments and that kind of thing, hey, that's great. Nobody's saying you shouldn't do that. But for the vast majority of other working sports parents who have more than one child who plays sports, this is really tough stuff, and you got to figure this out, because it is hard. It is real hard. Let's go to Brooklyn. Maureen is standing by. Maureen, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Good morning, Rick. Thanks so much for taking my call. I just wanted to make a point. One of the things that's being lost in all of this as well is family time.
Yeah.
And it, you know, as I'm not a parent, I'm an aunt. I come from a big sports family. My dad was a commissioner and coach of a Pop Warner football team for 27 years. And what I've watched at one particular family event, my nephew and my brother had to leave a 50th birthday party because he was involved in a team, a baseball team, and he had to leave and missed out on that party. And when I said, "What? How come he is doing this and not staying with family?" they all looked at me as if I had 10 heads.
Well,
and said, "You don't understand,
Maureen. This is
he made a commitment.
This is what happens. It gets very complicated because not you mentioned that obviously, but the birthday party." You know, if a kid is playing in a competitive team and all the intangibles you heard about growing up, you know, like, well, you made a commitment. The other teammates are relying upon you being there. You have to do the right thing. But if you're living a normal life as a youngster, you're going to be involved with making decisions about, well, I got invited to go to a birthday party, or there's a graduation I should be attending, or there's a wedding going on that same weekend of a big tournament. I mean, you know, all of a sudden you have to make a lot of decisions where, again, 20, 25 years ago, those decisions didn't have to be made because everybody sort of had their priorities in order. But it's different these days, and that's where I'm glad you brought this up, because we often overlook that these are real difficult decisions that do have a major, major impact upon family time and upon family commitments, and that is a real problem, which again is often overlooked. And Maureen, it's difficult because parents are trying to do the right thing with their kids. But at the same time, they also have an obligation to their families as well. It's awkward. It's very awkward.
Exactly.
Maureen,
go ahead. Yes, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, the thing that's being missed is that most of these kids, they're not going to go on to play D1 sports or professional sports.
No.
And you can never get that family time back for a special occasion. You can miss a game once in a while. It's not to say you're not committed, but the priority is sports over family at times, and I think that that's a shame.
It is. Thank you, Maureen, for chiming in.
You're welcome.
You know, but we all know, as sports parents who've been through this, and when you go to that travel team coach, that club team coach, and you say, well, we're going to miss that tournament, coming up in a few weeks because there's a big family get-together or there's a family wedding or whatever it might be, you know, the travel coach is going to say, what, where's your, you made a commitment to have your son be on this team. And that kind of pushback is difficult because sometimes there are, repercussions. If your kid misses a tournament, the next weekend, your kid's on the bench because they don't have the same commitment as other kids on the team. It's a terrible situation to be in if you're a parent or a youngster. It's as simple as that. Let's go to Denville. Frank, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good, Frank.
Outstanding show. Listen to you every week and first time calling in. But this subject is so true. And my son played three sports. Really, he enjoyed it. And I think the big thing is, you know, the parents have to, you know, not necessarily push the kids, but let the kids have fun and let them, because it's about them and their time. It's not about me and my time.
Mm-hmm.
I had my time playing sports, going to school, coaching, and you try to give good examples to the children as they're coming, you know, up in the system. But what one of your callers stated was, you know, he played, or my son played, three sports, and the thing that I try to promote was, you know, you're playing different with different kids. You're experiencing different things with different coaches. You're not getting into playing 12 months of baseball or just AAU basketball. You know, football is more difficult to play 12 months a year anyways.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, overall, he had a great experience and made great friends along the way. And, you know, that time goes so quickly from middle school through high school. Now he's in college. Decided to play football versus, you know, the other two sports. But, you know, the times that he experienced playing basketball and playing baseball and playing football with his friends, with his coaches, and teammates is invaluable. So I think the specialization is really something that has taken, you know, some of the kids, put them in a position where they're very vulnerable. And when you get into high school, sometimes the high school coaches, and I don't want to categorize any sport, but, you know, sometimes they're looking at it as if this kid's going to get them into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, well,
and it's not about that. It's, you know, it's really about the kids.
Frank, I thank you for being a listener, and thank you for calling in this morning. That's very nice of you. You know, and your point is certainly well taken. I mean, the fact is, because of this rush, the psychological pressure that young parents go through today about their kids who play sports, and they immediately have to make a decision about, A, should my kid just specialize in one sport? Is that the way to go? You know, should they be on a travel team at a very young age? Is that the way to go? And losing perspective on the fact that so few kids ever go beyond the high school years. So, in effect, if a kid's starting playing organized sports when they're five, let's say, just learn the basic rules and regulations of playing soccer or baseball or hockey, whatever sport might be, by the time they're 18, they're done. I mean, it's as simple as that. They're 13 years from beginning to the end, and parents have to understand that this is a process, it's an experience, and have faith in the system that if your kid really is going to be a superior athlete, then they're going to go on to become a star, regardless of they specialize early on or play on just one team. I mean, you got to have some faith in how things work out in life. But again, it's very, very difficult for parents today to get that kind of perspective. Let's go to New Rochelle and Pat. Hey, Pat, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, Pat. Did we lose it? Well, I guess we lost Pat. Let's go quickly over to Scott in Oceanside. Scott, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good, Scott.
Hey, I just stumbled upon your program. Never heard youth sports spoken about like this on the Fan. What a great topic.
Well, Scott, thank you. We've been doing this for over 21 years.
Guess I'm not up early enough on a Sunday morning. But
it's okay. Go ahead.
What a great relevant topic, and what your one caller touched on is so important, is just the sacrifices that you make for family time.
Yes.
And, you know, and the siblings sitting on the sideline watching their brother or sister play.
Yep.
And, you know, how these tournaments are all wrapped around holiday weekends, which were traditionally family time, right?
Gone.
Weekend.
You get that schedule early on and around Labor Day, and you start circling on the calendar. Okay, and this weekend we got to be here. This weekend we're going there. I mean, that's all of a sudden the travel sports become the dominant factor in a family's life. And as you said, you know, you can't leave the little ones at home. They come with you. So, I mean, you basically, you know, have to, it just becomes a different way of living, where the family's commitment to the travel program becomes the dominant force in the family existence.
Absolutely. And then you're faced with the tough choice. Do you split the family and one parent go with one kid, and then you don't see the rest of your family for the entire weekend because it's a Memorial Day tournament that starts on maybe a Friday, a Saturday, and takes you into Sunday. And if your team does well enough, you make the playoffs, and the finals are on a Monday, and so there goes your entire weekend.
That's correct.
And, right? And I remember growing up, and, that was, for me, growing up on Long Island, Memorial Day, 4th of July, Labor Day, those were sacred.
Yeah.
Well. That meant pool and beach and hanging out with friends. And, so as a parent, I struggle with, making that trade. And sure, the kids are enjoying themselves and they have a whole lot of fun. But what are you giving up? And that's where you have to maintain that balance. And often with these programs, you're either all in or you're all out. And if you're part time,
well, you can't, Scott. You're right, and that's the problem. You can't do it part time. And thank you for listening in this morning. The fact is that's what we're talking about. I don't know if young sports parents today are aware of once they start going down this pathway with a youngster in travel sports and tournaments and everything else, are they aware of what they're signing up for in terms of the commitment and the way it affects not just the one athlete, but the entire family, and how it really can be extraordinarily disruptive to family time and to how the family is basically spending its time together. It is quite a commitment. All right, let me take a time out. I'll be back with more. Stay with me. Well, some fascinating phone calls this morning, and really this is something people have to really think about as they get their kid involved in youth sports and what it's going to entail over the next 10 or 15 years. Moms and dads, as I say, somebody's got to act as the grown-up here, and it might as well be you. Okay, my thanks this morning to Brian Rascona. I'll see you next week right here on The Sports Edge.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.